who's not a new person, before I get started, if you are year 7 to year 12, I've got the invitations here for the Youth Connect, so please catch me and grab these. So it's school holidays. Is that fun for the parents? No? Some are saying yes, some are saying no. School holidays are supposed to be relaxing, but if you're a parent, you might have a different experience. Depending on how many kids you've got and their personalities, you know, it might be a relaxing time or an exhausting time. For myself, I would say it's a bit of both. You know, I'm someone who reacts to gluten. Unfortunately, I've got a few food intolerances. And yesterday, we ordered some meal, some burgers, and I specifically asked someone to please order me a gluten-free burger. But they didn't hear that bit. So the food came, and halfway through the burger, I don't know how the conversation came up, but it became apparent that my burger was, in fact, not gluten-free. It's just a normal burger. I did enjoy it at the time. But as soon as I found out that it was not gluten-free, I took the bread out and continued to eat the meat and the veggies. But it was too late because one of the effects of gluten on my system is that it knocks me out. So within half an hour of eating that burger, I went straight to bed and I slept, I don't know, for an hour and a half. I had to get up in the evening because we had to take my daughter for an appointment at night. But there was just this tiredness that hit me. You know, I wonder for you what that entails. What makes you tired? Some of us are tired because we had poor sleep last night. Some of us are tired because we had a bad week last week. Some of us are tired because we've had a hard year. Some of us, we've had hard past 3 years. Some of us are tired because, let's just face it, we've just had an exhausting life. Life is just hard. It's exhausting for us. Everything is an effort. I just want to pray before I get started, just to lay a foundation for the message I'm about to share. I want to read from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you're taking notes, the title of my message is Rest and Let God. Rest and let God. A lot of people actually struggle with resting. Some of us have insomnia. Do I have any insomniacs in the room? Just can't sleep. You struggle with that. Okay, maybe nobody wants to admit it, right? Some people struggle to sleep. It's a medical condition. Rest and let God. I want to share from Jonah. We all know Jonah. Talk about Jonah. Jonah is a prophet. He was a prophet. He was a messenger of God. And he was given an assignment to go to the city of Nineveh to speak against the evil and the sinful lifestyle of the people of Nineveh. But instead, what did Jonah do? This is where you respond. He ran away. Jonah ran. And God decided he was not going to let Jonah get away with that because he had an assignment for Jonah. Who knows? God has an assignment for everyone in the room today. Yes, Andrew does. Thank you, Andrew. God has an assignment for every single one of us. Even if you don't know yet what that assignment is, you have an assignment. And so Jonah decides to board a ship. He was going to a place called Tarshish. That was his plan. He paid the fare and he went on board. God sends a violent, violent storm. And everybody was in a state of panic. And they all started praying to their gods, small g. Everyone was praying to their God, except Jonah was downstairs, down the deck, it says, in a deep sleep, while everybody else is in a state of panic. To the point where the captain got really annoyed. He was more than annoyed, but he went downstairs to confront Jonah to say, "We're all dying here, and you're in a deep sleep." Paraphrase. So, to cut a long story short, they cast lots to find out why there was this violent storm. Who is responsible for this? And the lot, because that's how they used to make decisions back then, the lot fell on Jonah. You know, I used to wonder, you know what, maybe when you were kids, you used to play, I don't know if you've thrown lots before, played with stones, but I used to wonder, how is it that the lot fell on Jonah? And there's only one answer to that. And to me, the answer is God made sure it fell on Jonah. Because God was responsible for all of that. So, they asked Jonah, "Who are you that this is happening? Who are you?" And Jonah had to explain that, "I'm a Hebrew, you know, I've got this God, the God of heavens." And he was identifying who he was. And he had already told them that he was running away from God. I don't know how that conversation went, whether it was over breakfast or dinner, where he just said, "Hey, guys, guess what? I'm just running away from God." Because it says in the scripture that they already knew because he told them that he was running away from God. And so at the end, they ask him, "What do we do?" He says, "Well, you have to throw me in the sea." And they didn't want to do that. So they kept trying all different things, throwing a lot of the cargo out of the ship to try and make the ship lighter. But that didn't help. It was a violent storm, life-threatening. So finally, they decided to throw him into the sea. And it says that the storm calmed down. Why? Because it was God doing all of that. So I just want to start off by talking about running from the call. Stop running from the call. We all have an assignment, but that assignment is tied to the call. Jonah was called as a prophet, and then he was given an assignment to go to Nineveh. You know, I was just thinking about it when I was sitting there. I don't think that was the first assignment that Jonah ever got. I have to do a bit more research, but I don't think so. So he knew he was rebelling against God. As a prophet, he would have been given different words. But in this particular instance, he decided, "I don't really like this assignment." Have you ever had a situation where you feel like you've been assigned to do something and you just didn't want to do it? You know, they've got these little, I don't know if they're called memes or what, where it says, "I don't want to adult today." My one is, "I don't want to parent today." I don't know what yours is. But we get moments, don't we, where we just don't want to do something. We don't want to fulfill our assignments. We've got different assignments. You don't have just the one. And we know that we've got different assignments because God has given us gifts. He has equipped us. It says, for the things that he has called us to, he has equipped us. So you've been given gifts, and those gifts are tied to the assignments. But sometimes we just don't want to fulfill the assignments. We just run from that because it's just an inconvenience, isn't it? I remember I used to be very good at hiding. And one of my favorite hiding spots was my grandmother's bed. Whenever we'd go for school holidays and go visit our grandparents, as much as it was fun, one thing I didn't like was, and this is part of just African culture, they send the kids to do all the jobs. All the jobs. If you see, I mean, I think we do it as well as parents. As soon as you see a child in your view, you're like, "Ooh, water, water. Oh, yeah, go get me a cup of tea." Right? We have all these different instructions. And that's what used to happen when I was growing up. So I would hide under my grandmother's bed, especially when my mom and my aunties were around. Because what they would do is they would gather, the three of them, and they'll be there chatting. And as soon as they see any one of us, "You, go get me this or get me." Unfortunately, I was one of those very, and I think I've talked about this before, very compliant child. I was not the rebellious type. You know, there's some kids who are just rebellious. They can go, they don't need to hang around the adults. I was just one of those who just, unfortunately for me, I would hang around the adults. And of course, they would see me and they would send me. So my solution was hide under your grandmother's bed. I love watching kids play hide and seek, little ones, because they hide in the most obvious place. They won't necessarily to think, I need to go and hide under the bed, especially like, you know, Guguletu's age, she's 3. And last week she was playing in the kids' area and she was playing hide and seek with some of the kids. And I walked into the room. I could see her. She was in plain sight. And I asked her, "Gugu, are you in here?" And she said, "No." You know, Jonah ran away. And he played hide and seek with God. Except there was just one little problem. He was hiding from an omnipresent God. God who is everywhere all the time. So sometimes I think as human beings, we think we can outsmart God. We do things, we run from God. We try not to be too obvious about it, but we try and hide away. We hide our gifts. We hide our talents. We don't want to be seen. But God can see it. And I wonder, are you playing hide and seek with God right now? Are you running from him? And how do you know if you are? And what can you do about it? I believe you know that you are running from God when you start to invest in distractions. When you spend your money, your talents, your gifts on things that have got nothing to do with what God has called you to. Jonah paid money to run to Tarshish. Money, which I believe he probably worked for. His hard-earned money to run from God. And sometimes we do the same. And I believe in order to address that in our own lives, if you've identified that actually I think I am running from God, we actually need to slow down. We need to slow our pace down. We need to slow down our thoughts, our day, our week, and create time and space for God. You know, as Christians, we talk a lot about quiet time. So that's the what. What should we do? Quiet time. But how do you actually do that? It sounds nice to say have quiet time. But if we're honest, a lot of us actually struggle with creating quiet time because we live in such a busy time. But you have to actually be intentional in order to create that. And you have to be practical about it. So for myself, wherever I go, whether it's in the workplace or at home, in a living room, or in the shed, for my case, I try and create a space. So you have to actually create a space. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Like I said, mine is in the shed, right? And in there, it's all my favorite little things. If you all watch The Sound of Music, and there's that beautiful song about my favorite things, these are a few of my favorite things. You have to learn to create a space that's going to help you feel like you're connecting. And you have to go to that space. Now, sometimes one of the things that keeps us stuck is we think that we have to spend hours seeking God, hours praying, hours quoting the Bible. But God cares that you actually stop. You know, one of the things that we have a discussion about in our home is gifts. Pastor Stephen has a completely different view on gifts than I do. For him, what's the saying? Do you look a gift horse in the mouth, right? Do you check it out when somebody gives you a gift? And I say, no, it's the thought that counts. He's like, no, no, no. It's not about the thought that counts. It matters what the gift is. And when you think about us creating a space and connecting with God, I say the thought of God counts. You stopping and thinking about God counts. Whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, your ability to intentionally stop in your day. And you don't have to be religious about it. You know, some people are morning people. Some people are evening people. It doesn't really matter. What matters is you stopped in that 5 seconds or 5 minutes or whatever. You actually gave your attention to God. So it's important that we slow down so that we can hear the word of the Lord for ourselves. You know, as much as we read the Bible and it's to all of us, there is a word of the Lord for each one of us. For some of us, we experience it as we read the Bible. For some of us, we experience it as we have a conversation. Some of us, we are dreamers. Some of us have visions. Some of us, it's situations that just happen and you think, I know that's God speaking to me. You just know that you know that you know. Because God works differently for all of us. But here's the thing. Who knows you can be in church and still be running from God? Like, just because we're in church right now, it doesn't mean we've stopped running. You can still run while you are in church. Are you a singer? But you've never approached the worship team leader? Are you an intercessor, but you don't pray? Are you a server? You like to serve, but you've never volunteered that? Are you a kids minister, but you've never spoken to the kids zone leader? You can still hide. I think I've shared this before. One of the things I used to say is, I never, ever, ever, ever want to be a pastor's wife. Ever. You can get me to be anything but not a pastor's wife. Because in my head, I had preconceived ideas about what that actually meant. But you know, God works in mysterious ways. God has a sense of humor. That very thing that you say you don't want, He will put you in that. And you can fight it. You see, one of my biggest challenges is when I was younger, I was so scared of speaking in front of people. And I was so scared of raising my hand in class. I remember because when I was in primary school, if you got an answer wrong, you got a beating for it. So even if I knew the answer, I'll just do this. And then I'll be like, nah, it's not worth it. I learned to doubt myself. I learned to doubt my voice. And so I learned to hide. And some of us this morning, we may be struggling with that. Doubt. Self-doubt. And it's that self-doubt that causes you not to step out in faith. My favorite saying, or one of my favorite sayings, people are born into the generation into which they are most needed. It is this generation that you have been born into for a reason. The generation of Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, the whole confusing lot, right? God saw it fit for you to be born into this generation. Just like he saw it fit to be the parent of that child. He saw it fit for you to be the leader of that group. Saw it fit for you to be the worship leader here. God saw it fit. People are born into a generation into which they are most needed. I think it's safe to assume that none of us here have been inside the belly of a fish. Am I correct? Like Jonah? Anybody here been in the belly of a fish? People are not sure. I'll just assume you haven't. But how many people have been in an elevator? Elevator? Yes. Elevator? Muriel? Yes. Most people have been in an elevator. Some of us have been in an MRI machine, right? That tunnel-like machine. Yes, thanks, Andrew. Right? It's scary. It's dark. You don't know how long you're going to be in there. You know, sometimes when I walk into the elevator, I'm like, especially when it makes funny sounds, I'm like, this thing better not jam while I'm in there. Especially when you don't know which button to press. I've had one of my kids press one of those ringing, and I'm like, this is going to be disastrous, right? So we can imagine at least that, if we can't imagine being in the belly of the fish. So as I get you to think about that, I want to read from Jonah 2, verse 1 to 10. And it says this. I want you to imagine yourself in Jonah's position now that we have the elevator example. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. This is when he was in the sea. All your waves and breakers swept over me. This just reminds me. Generally speaking, correct me if I'm wrong, African people don't like being in the sea. Is that correct? Generally speaking, I'm generalizing here. So I want you to imagine you're in the sea and this is happening. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I love sushi. Seaweed, right? Imagine seaweed around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. This is Jonah reflecting. He's inside the fish, and he is reflecting on his experience while he was in the water. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Fish could have vomited Jonah out any time. But it was only after this whole prayer and this last declaration that the Lord ordered that to happen. So I want to talk about open your mouth. Open your mouth. Everyone in this room, I believe, has had the welcome to earth smack when they were a baby, when they were born. You got the smack, right? And that showed whoever the nurse is there that, okay, yeah, there's life here. Jonah opened his mouth to cry out for help in his distress. If we are going to rest and let God, then we must learn to cry out in our distress. Too many of us Christians live secret lives. We live in private pain, and we have secret pleasures that stop us from connecting with God. A lot of us internalize. We're so private, even with God, we're private, except we forget He knows all things, He sees all things. but he needs us to open our mouth and cry out. Jonah opened his mouth to show us the character of God. He says, the God who loves, the God who is faithful and delivers from darkness and fear, the God who resuscitates when life feels like it's ebbing away. This is the things that came out of Jonah's mouth while he was in the middle of the belly of the fish. Jonah opened his mouth to make a statement of commitment to God. If we are going to rest and let God, then we must learn to commit. I wonder, when was the last time you made a commitment to God? And can you remember what that commitment was? Was it a commitment to pray more? Was it a commitment to come to church? Was it a commitment to reach out and have a discipleship partner? Was it a commitment to connect with other Christians? And this is what Jonah declared. He said, I will look again toward you. He made a commitment to say, I will look again. Even though you've thrown me in the sea, and this is what's happening, I will look again toward you. He said, I will remember you. I will lift up my prayer to you. I will sacrifice to you. I will fulfill my vows to you. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. There's something powerful about opening our mouths and making a commitment about what we will. Jonah 3, verse 1 to 6 and verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth, which was a sign of them humbling themselves. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, this is the king, and sat down in the dust. He stepped down from the throne. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. I want to talk about the God of second chances. Who knows that God is a God of second chances? For all of us, God has given us second chances, third chances, but he is a God of second chances. Jonah got a redo. He got a second chance, and so did Nineveh because Jonah decided to obey. We must learn to pray for God's perspective on whatever situation we find ourselves in. You see, a lot of people think that the fish swallowing Jonah was a punishment. But when you read the scripture, it says the Lord provided the fish. So the fish was not punishment. The fish was protection. Even though it was a dark place, the future wasn't clear, it was scary and probably lonely, somehow Jonah was able to make a connection between him crying out to God and the provision. He was able to see God in that situation. It's a game changer when you realize that in your dark, scary, unclear moments, those times when you're scared and you're anxious and you don't know what's going to happen, God is still with you. Not every painful experience is the work of the enemy. Not every painful experience. Jesus Christ went to the cross and he was in a lot of pain, but he was on assignment. Jonah was in a dark place in the middle of the belly of the fish, not knowing what the future looked like, but he was still on assignment because it was in that belly he got revelation of who God really was and what God really wanted to do. And out of that experience came praise. Something unique happened to him while he was in that space. Can I encourage you, as you go out and create those spaces, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours. Listen for what God wants to do. I want to finish off with this. Seeing. There is something powerful about seeing what the Lord will do. You see, Jonah heard the word of the Lord, but he did not see the vision of God in that situation. He heard, go and warn those people, the Ninevites. But what he didn't see was that God saw it as a great city. He didn't see that there was potential blessings, salvation of many, many people, that there was restoration of families, that his one decision to obey would open up doors for broken places to be restored. It would open up doors for peace and healing to happen for the people of Nineveh, that there would be joy for that community, that nation. It says God changed his mind to destroy Nineveh because of Jonah. Obedience. Your obedience can change a nation. Sometimes we underestimate how powerful we are. We underestimate the power of our decisions. My question to you is this. When God sends a word to you, what do you see? What do you see? I'll get us to stand up, and if you could just play something for us, Elta. Please stand up. I just want to read Acts 17, verse 26 to 28. And I just want to pray around this. It says, from one man, he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from any of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So as we finish off this afternoon, if you need prayer around these areas, please come to the front so we can pray and allow God to move like only he can. I want to pray into the four areas in particular. Number one is if you are tired. Doesn't matter what's caused your tiredness, whether it's eating bread or parenting children. Tired and need rest. God's type of rest. Please come up. The second thing is pray. I want to pray for the callings of God. We are all called as ambassadors to all nations, every single one of us. I want to pray for hope for the future, for our church families, and for our generation. And finally, I want to pray that not only will you hear the word of the Lord for you, but that also your eyes would be open to see God's vision for that word that he has given you.